Has there been something so transformative in your life that you want others to experience it as well? For some, the positive effect of a certain exercise program has them commending it to their friends. For others, the personal satisfaction of volunteering leads them to ask others to help with the same cause. Still for others, the latest and most helpful phone app has them advertising to others how much easier their day-to-day lives would be if only they too bought it. The rewards of exercise, volunteering, and technology have their benefits. But what should be first on the list for Christians? What life-changing reality should Christians desire to advertise with their lives and their words? The answer is this: the transformative power of Jesus Christ should compel us to tell others about Him. If a blind man were to receive their sight, surely they would tell others of the power of their healer. If a mute man were able to talk again, certainly they would speak of the one who transformed their voice. If a paralytic could walk again, they would desire to bring others to the same one who did this for him. Likewise, a man or woman who has received the amazing gift of the forgiveness of sins, this man or woman should desire to tell others of the one who forgave them. If someone were to ask us, "What is missing in my life? What change should I seek to make?" Would our answer be this? "Let me tell you about the transforming power of my Lord Jesus Christ." Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus teaches from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. In it, we look at a powerful, transformative event in the earthly ministry of Christ and make application to our own lives. His message is titled, "Jesus Has Authority to Forgive Sins." We invite you to join us for another look at the main figure in the Bible as we trace God's grand story of redemption and together delight in the Word.
Luke chapter 5. Follow with me, please, as I begin in verse 12. Get a little bit of the context. "While he," that is Jesus, "was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, 'Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Rise and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home.' And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. An amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, We have seen extraordinary things today. And in that statement, I believe that they are saying more than we have seen a paralyzed man walk. But we have seen God in the flesh visit us and forgive sin. When you come to understand the Lord Jesus as the friend of sinners, as the compassionate, gracious Savior, and you come to Him in the humility of faith, the simplicity of this faith is so beautifully pleasing to God. Fanny Crosby had this kind of simple faith in Jesus. You may remember her name. She will turn 200 next year. She was blind. Shortly after birth, a doctor seeking to be of help, unfortunately, did the wrong thing, and she was then blind for the rest of her life. But God used her to leave a gift to the church that will be around, I think, until Jesus comes back. It's been around this long. She wrote more than 9,000 songs of praise and worship. But one of the unique qualities of this woman and the music that she produced, or the lyrics that she produced, is the tenderness of her love for the Savior. She saw Jesus as the friend of sinners. She saw Jesus in His compassion and His tenderness and His grace. And that resulted in all these songs of praise just gushing from her heart. A personal favorite of mine is Blessed Assurance. It says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Very personal. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. In other words, what I have with Jesus now is just a foretaste. It's just a little glimpse of the glory that will be one day mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. In other words, that's who I am. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God. I've been reborn by the Spirit of God. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. See, when sinners like us come to Jesus in the humility of faith, who receives us as we are, He receives us just as we are, broken, bankrupt, needy sinners, prone to wander from the Lord like sheep without a shepherd. But when we come to Jesus, we receive God's healing grace. We are pardoned from all condemnation. And this is true because He has completely satisfied the work of God's redemption by dying upon the cross and rising again. He has completely fulfilled all that was promised in the Old Testament. The Redeemer. The promises that could only be fulfilled by one who is both God and man. Not by just another really good prophet or a better prophet than all the others, but God. God among us, Emmanuel. And when Jesus comes into your life this way, And in the humility of faith, you see him in this way. You are born anew. It begins a new life, a life of worship and obedience to Christ, and a life of unending praise to God for his glory. You become not one who has any confidence in yourself, but one who has all confidence in Jesus. You become one who loses all faith in the possibility that your works may save you someday and give you something to boast about. And you come to the emptiness of yourself and realize that if you will ever be a boaster in heaven, you will only be one who boasts in Christ. Because there is no one to boast in and to boast of. And this is the kind of experience that we see here in the Gospel of Luke today. We see the experience of a paralyzed man who is brought to Jesus with the help of his friends. And here we meet a man who receives two gifts from Jesus. He is healed physically of his disability, but more importantly, eternally more importantly, infinitely more importantly, he receives spiritual healing from Jesus. He receives the full pardon of his sin, which results in God being glorified by many people. And we have here a dramatic demonstration of the power of Jesus to heal and the authority of Jesus to forgive. And Luke gives us just one of three gospel accounts. So let me read for you a harmony of the three gospels that record this same event. I picked up this Harmony of the Gospels back when I was in Bible college in the mid-80s, The Life of Christ in Stereo, the four Gospels speaking in harmony. These are the three Gospel accounts woven into one. Now after some days, Jesus went again into Capernaum. And it came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, there were some of the scribes, Pharisees, and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. Then the word spread around that he was at home. And immediately so many came together that there was no longer any room, not even about the door. And he was telling them the word. And the Lord's power was present for him to heal. And behold, there came men bringing him a man who was paralyzed, lying on a pallet, which was borne by four. And they sought how to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and tore open the roof above where he was. And on making an opening, they lowered him with the pallet down through the tiles, right into the midst before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take courage, young man. Your sins are forgiven you." But behold, the scribes and Pharisees began to ponder in their hearts, saying, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? What does this man speak? Why does this man speak thus? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Then Jesus, knowing at once in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, answered and said to them, "Why do you ask yourselves these things? Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your pallet and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise and take up your pallet and go home." And immediately he rose up before them all, and taking up that on which he had lain, he went off to his home, praising God, so that the crowds who had seen it were all seized with amazement and glorified God, who had given such power to men. And they were filled with awe, saying, "We never saw such as this. We have seen strange things today." The Lord Jesus, in the healing of this paralytic, glorifies God. But he also demonstrates the mercy and compassion of God, not just the power of God, but the compassionate mercy of God towards sinners. Sinners like this paralytic, and sinners like you and me. So Luke provides the setting in verse 17. There's a confrontation between Jesus and the religious leaders that is about to occur, and so Luke sets the stage. The Pharisees and teachers of the law have come from every village as far as Jerusalem, it says in verse 17, which is 120 miles that they have traveled to see Jesus. Why have they traveled so far in a day in which you can't simply jump into your Toyota and be there in 2 hours? Well, the fame of Jesus had spread far and wide, and they felt threatened by him and the power of his teaching. He taught as one who had authority, and thousands were beginning to follow him. Great were the crowds, and they had heard of the miracles, and perhaps some of them came out of curiosity, but more likely, because of their response, it seems, that they came because they intended to discredit him or possibly even destroy him. And the reason is because the power of the Lord was upon him. See, Jesus possessed something that the Pharisees could only dream of having. Real spiritual life. The power of God upon his life and ministry. These were things that the Pharisees could only dream of having because the Pharisees lacked one crucial thing. They lacked the quality of humility of faith. They were proud. They were arrogant. They were religious. And they were hypocrites. And from the interaction of the main characters in this true story, I draw two applications for you this morning. Two ways that God wants you to respond. Number one, God wants you to urgently bring others to Jesus. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you are living under his lordship and you have the freedom of forgiveness and the pardon and the cleansing of sin from God through Jesus Christ, he wants you to urgently bring others to the Savior. You see this in verse 18. These friends, some men, Mark tells us there were four of them, and they were carrying this man who was paralyzed. They were carrying his bed, and upon this bed was this man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But there was a problem. Outside of the house, there were mobs of people. Perhaps you couldn't even see the front door. And so there was no way to get in. And yet that did not deter these men from bringing their friend to Jesus. Finding no way to bring him in, it says in verse 19, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. One of the other gospel writers, as you heard in the harmony, says that they actually had to cut a hole in the roof in order to do this. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." See, these friends of the paralytic, in their mercy and their compassion and in their love for this man, knew it was their time to act. It was their time to intercede for him, to bring him to Jesus, to do what he could not do for himself. Philip Ryken writes, quote, "There is a time for waiting to see if God will open a door, but there is also a time to get inside, even if it means going through the roof to get there." Such is the tension of evangelism, whereby we know with all of our heart, because God saved us, that it takes a miracle to save even one sinner. And salvation is God's work, not man's. And yet God has said to us, bring them to Jesus. It's time to act. There should be a sense of urgency about our evangelism. We should not be sitting and waiting for God to bring people to us who need to hear the gospel. We should be going to them. We should be bringing them to Jesus. And so what an example of personal evangelism we see here. And each of us who know Christ should be asking ourselves, to what extent am I willing to go to bring other people to Jesus? We should ask ourselves, if I had been there, if I had been one of those four men carrying that paralytic, would I have been too discouraged and disheartened by the obstacles? Would I have walked away? Would I have said, oh, there will be another day to bring him to Jesus? Would I have lacked the urgency that today is the day of salvation? Now is the time to bring people to Jesus. And this man surely longed to be healed of his disability, but more than that, he needed to have his sins forgiven. See, if Jesus would have merely healed him of his paralysis and not forgiven him, what good would that have been to him in light of eternity? Oh, it would have been good for him in this earthly life, but what good would it have been for his soul? See, forgiveness of sin was this man's greatest need, and so it is for us, and so it is for every person that we know. And Jesus, of course, knew this. And so he sees their faith, and one of the other Gospels says, the faith of this man, and says, man, your sins are forgiven. Some other translations say, friend. It's a real tender word. It's an expression of kindness. I mean, think about that. God, in human flesh, looking at this man and calling him friend. And yet such it is for those who know Christ. Jesus calls us friends. In John 15, he says to the disciples, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is a marvel, that the Creator of the universe, our Redeemer, our Savior, could call us a friend. And it's only because of his great work of redemption that restores us to God, that reconciles us to God, that causes us to be at peace with God and therefore, like Abraham, a friend of God.
Thanks for listening. We can see why Christians should love to talk about their Savior, can't we? The truth with which Pastor Paul concluded today's program is wonderful. He said, "This is a marvel that the Creator of the universe, our Redeemer, our Savior, could call us friend." It is a marvel and one worth telling others about. Who in our life needs to hear about Jesus? Who in our family could we plan to have an intentional conversation with about the person and work of Jesus Christ? Our prayer is that the Word of God would equip and empower us by the Spirit to make strides of obedience in this area. We are weak, but He is strong. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at lightintheword.org, or you can find the program where you listen to your podcasts. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live in the Cleveland area and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. Next time, Pastor Paul concludes this two-part message from the book of Luke. We will see the stark contrast between criticism and faith, the criticism of the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and the call to respond to Jesus with faith. God deserves all the glory for Jesus' mercy, power, and authority. To hear about Jesus' exclusive authority to forgive sins, we invite you to join us again next time. May the Lord bless you until then as we together delight in the Word.